82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, May 27th. 2025. It's 9:05 a.m. I'm Gary Harris, Chase Brumfield alongside, and we're it. I think we're the only two people in the building. I'm glad to be here. Don't get me wrong, even though I had to drive through a torrential downpour to get in here. I get in here, and literally, Chase, I think we're the only two people in the building. I don't know what the plan is for the other stations, but they've got a plan. I guess their plan was to take the day off. But our plan is to be here this morning, although unfortunately, my got in, the computer's down, nobody here, now it's locked up, can't get on it, can't log on to it, and I tell you, Chase is locked up to the point that the clock's not even working on it. So I may just have to restart it again, I don't know, I can't get it to do anything. But if you're out there listening to us, we're glad to have you with us, and it is a ugly morning. What is so wild about this weather? And you hear me talk about it all the time. All they can do is look at the models, the meteorologist, and it's that's why it's called a forecast. It's not a guarantee cast. And this was what I was expecting yesterday. This was the forecast for yesterday. And I had already just accepted that it was going to be a rainy Monday. I was off from here. I was off from the TV station. And I was just going to then, you know, it never really rained. I mean, it came finally last night. We got a thunder boomer. But, you know, for the most part, yesterday was dry. And then you wake up this morning, and it's absolutely raining cats and dogs. And so be careful out there. If you're on your way back to work after the holiday, drive carefully because the roads, when it rains this hard, and we've already had a lot of rain anyway, there are a lot of the low areas that seem that tend to puddle, and it's easy to hydroplane. It's easy to run up onto somebody if you're driving and you can't see well because of the rain and you're running at a certain speed, even in the left lane, even in the express lane, I would warn you that you could run up on slower traffic because that happened to me a little bit coming in, and you don't want to have to jump on your brakes too hard in this type of weather because it'll skid on you in a heartbeat. So be very, very, very careful. The last thing that you want on top of dealing with this kind of weather is to be dealing with this kind of weather in an accident or a stalled vehicle because you hit a ditch or like I said, you just stalled out because you hit too much water too fast. So be careful. And my feet are wet because I had to come up. I got through the rain coming in, Chase, and then I got parked, and I should have just hustled on in here, but I sat in the truck for a minute, and by the time I got, now it's let up again, but the bottom fell out right while I was coming in, and so now I've got wet feet. There's nothing more frustrating than having wet feet. You know what I mean? In fact, I'm probably going to take the shoes and the socks off because I had to run in as fast as I could because it was pouring, even with a windbreaker on and a hood. And the water just got all up in my shoes and my socks. So you can tell I'm trying to figure it all out this morning. But nothing worse than coming back after a holiday and being greeted by a thunderstorm and then getting in here, having your computer locked up, nobody here. But we're going to try to get it going. We got a lot to cover this morning. We do. I do have a really good show on tap for you. I really, really do. Drudy Armin at 9:30. We've got Casey Smith on golf at 10 because he couldn't be with us yesterday, obviously, because we weren't on. And then at 10:30, we've got the Patterson Law Firm segment with North Patterson coming in, hopefully coming into studio today. Hopefully the weather will allow North to get on in here. But his topic today is breaking down personal injury compensation, what victims are really entitled to. So we'll have him in at 10:30. Welcome your phone calls as well. We'll welcome your phone calls on the show on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904, 205-342-9904. And right now, let me tell you, this first hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. I can absolutely endorse them because I'm a member. you should consider becoming a member too. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. It looks like this computer, what happened is it was off, and then Chase and I just kept clicking on the Comrex because I got to pull up the message screen where Chase and I can communicate. So now it's like there's like 20 Comrex screens pulled up. And anyway, I don't know whether to just try to restart the thing or see if it will. They'll come through on their own, Chase, or whatever. But anyway, give us some calls here. We'd love to get going here because, like I said, it is eerily quiet up here at the Town Square corporate offices. I mean, we're the only two people in the entire building. Next time it's Memorial Day, Chase, remind me because I'm going to do whatever everybody else did. I'm going to program my show for Tuesday morning in advance so that I can stay home too, I guess, because nobody else is up here. But we're here. It's 10 minutes. So I guess it's 10 minutes after. Yeah, because the clock is now working on my computer. So I wanted to double check that. 10 minutes after 9. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. You heard the lineup. We're welcome and ready for phone calls. We welcome them at 205-342-9904. I'm going to try to get this computer going. On the other side, too, the SEC spring meetings are underway down in Destin. I don't know if they're getting weather like this, but, you know, they're mostly inside anyway. But Greg Sankey actually met with the media last night. I remember when the spring meetings were just the spring meetings. It wasn't a media event. Now it's another media event. They credential it and everything else. But Greg Sankey met with the media last night and had some really interesting comments. You know, about 40 minutes. We're not going to run you the whole thing, but what we are going to do is play you a portion where he just pretty much said, we're the SEC. And, we do think about other leagues and we think about other conferences. But at the same time, we got to look out for ourselves and, it's not our responsibility to look out for everybody else. And he was asked about the good of the game and pretty much just said, you'll hear what he said. You know, you'll hear exactly what he said and where the format might be headed for the playoff. And there's about a 3.5-minute clip that we've got for you from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey on the other side of the break. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Georgia authorities have released the initial cause of a crash on Interstate 75 outside Atlanta that took the lives of a student athlete and two alumni from Stillman College. The victims, Varick Lawrence, Destiny Garner, and C.S. Elliott, all lived in Atlanta. Troopers say it appears their vehicle veered out of its lane, went into a nearby ditch before exploding in flames just after 3 a.m. on Saturday morning. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for the latest West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
Plus, each lucky winner gets $300 in bonus bet prizes. Drive into winnings today at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. Must be 21 or older to play.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions in both dining rooms, at the bar,
bar and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the roadside. And if you can't safely move over, please slow down.
Visit drivesafealabama.org, brought to you by the Alabama Department of Transportation, Alabama Broadcasters Association, and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds today, and again, the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 67. Tomorrow, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms. The high, 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Show. We're going to get to that Greg Sankey audio here when we have an opportunity, but right now we're going to jump out on the Storage Center hotline, and Mike's going to join us and visit with us and get us going this morning, because I'm telling you right now, I'm in a foul mood this morning. So, Mike, good morning. get me in a better mood, man.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Gary. Hey, a long-time listener, first-time caller into your show.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your show. Enjoy watching you, streaming you on the TV as well. I'm from here in Lexington, South Carolina, just outside Columbia, but lifelong Alabama fan. I'm part of the Alabama Sidewalk Alumni Association.
I hear you.
But, yes, sir. Hey, Gary, got a question. What do you think about Alabama going to the Hattiesburg Baseball Regional?
Well, if you can't host, listen, I'm not going to get into it. They didn't make it. That's the bottom line. And I agree with people that said, you know what, if they hadn't blown a 7-2 lead in eighth inning at Vanderbilt or a 5-0 lead at Florida, or if they'd beaten Tennessee in the SEC tournament, they would have gotten to host. And I agree with that. So ultimately, they didn't do what they needed to do. Having said that, their resume was worthy of hosting. There's no doubt about it. 41 wins, mm-hmm. 13 RPI, 17 conference wins when you count the one in the SEC tournament. And so, you know, not even to get an opportunity to host, I'm still disappointed in that. But having said that, if you've got to go on the road for a regional, I think Hattiesburg was my first choice. First of all, proximity. It's an easy drive, yep. Obviously. It's less than 3 hours.
Yep.
A lot of fans can go there. You've got a lot of fans anyway in that part of the country that are Alabama fans in South Mississippi and over, you know, in the Mobile area and Southwest Alabama that can drive over. So you're going to have a big contingent of fans. They play Southern Miss every year. They beat Southern
That's
Miss
right.
this year. Miami's a team that name recognition-wise has a lot of name recognition, but they're struggling. I think they lost 6 of their last 7 games. Their record is, you know, not great at all. So I think it's certainly Southern Miss can win the regional, or Miami if they play well. But Alabama is capable of going in there and winning this regional. And I wouldn't be shocked one bit if they did it. Now, by the way that they aligned it up, you're certainly going to have, if you win this regional, you're going to have a tough task winning Nashville to play Vanderbilt. But you know what? Mm-hmm. You'll take your chances. So if you've got to go on the road, this would have been my choice over Tallahassee or anywhere else. So I'm pleased that they got to go to Hattiesburg.
I agree with you, Gary, 100%. You're exactly right. And I was thinking, because my son, full disclosure, my daughter just graduated from Clemson couple of weeks ago and started law school at the University of South Carolina. My son is an equipment manager on the Clemson baseball team, and they hosted a regional there in Clemson.
Yeah, and I'm glad Alabama didn't have to go to Clemson. I'm glad they didn't have to go to Tallahassee. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with Hattiesburg.
I am too. And I told my son, I said, if y'all win that Clemson regional and LSU wins the battle, they're going to have to go play at LSU. And, boy, y'all better get it ready because playing at LSU is no joke.
No, it's not.
You know? So, yeah. Hey, I got another thing. I know Barry, I think Barry's on vacation and Coach Sanderson's off. I've always thought this. I know this will probably never happen, but I've always wished this would happen for years. And I'm in my mid-50s, a little bit younger than you, but you and I are close in age. But I always thought, why doesn't the University of Alabama name the court Wimp Sanderson Court? I know it probably never happened. Maybe that's a political thing.
No, it's a fair question. It really, really is. Because to this point, and if Nate Oates stays here, certainly he is going. I think Coach Sanderson has 241 wins. But he's still the winningest coach in Alabama men's basketball history at this point. And, you know, there have already been a lot of coaches since him. You know, David Hobbs, Mark Gottfried, Anthony Grant, Avery Johnson, Nate Oates, and nobody's been able to clip him in terms of wins. And there's no doubt, had he coached here, you know, things happen in life. That's just part of it. But, you know, he was going to coach another 10 years here probably had things not happened the way that they happened, because he was still, let's see, I think he was 56 maybe, 57 or so when he left Alabama. Of course, in Atlanta, went up to Little Rock for a few years. But so he probably would have won another 200 games or so. He'd probably be, you know, right around 500 wins. He's got 241. He's still the winningest coach in program history. You're right. He really established Alabama as a basketball school. Certainly, it started with Coach Newton in the 70s. Right. But that's a good question. And I don't know the answer. I don't know. You know, Wimp Sanderson Court at Coleman Coliseum certainly sounds like it has a good ring to me.
Me too.
You know, and I'm glad you brought it up. Maybe some people out there are listening to us, and I'll, you know, to be honest with you, Mike, it's something I hadn't thought about. And now that you put it in my, you know, put a little, you know, reminder to me that is a excellent idea. And in fact, I might float it to some people and just see if it's ever been considered. Wimp Sanderson Court at, now maybe some of it has to do with the fact that he did not depart here on good terms. Now that might have, you know, just being,
I think that's a big part of it.
Being blunt about it, you know, he did not depart on good terms, and that might have a lot to do with it too. So,
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Yeah. Well, what do you think about our football program? The direction is heading under Coach DeBoer. I mean, we didn't lose anybody in the transfer portal. We're the only SEC school that did not do that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, right now I feel great because it's, you know, we're sitting here in late May and they, you know, we got the summer to go through, and for the very reason that you just said, I think that's on paper appears to be a very good thing that they didn't lose any scholarship players, and that they're on, you know, the players on the same page, the coaching staff is on the same page, so everything seems like it's in alignment. Now, if we get into the season and look up on October and they got 2 or 3 losses, I'll say, well, what a good thing that they didn't lose anybody in the portal. Maybe they needed to lose some people to portal and bring some guys into the portal. You know what I mean? But they seem like they're comfortable with their roster. I've got a good vibe about this team and this season, but there is a but. You know, last year, that team, I thought, had enough that in terms of talent, that I still think that should have been a playoff team. And it wasn't.
I do too.
And that's disappointing. So if you're, you know, I think this is a playoff team. So to me, you know, I have to live in the real world. You can have all the warm fuzzies that you want and everything looks good. But if we're sitting here in January or late December and this is not a playoff team, I don't know how we're going to sugarcoat it. This should be a, you know, but there's a lot of good teams in the SEC that are thinking the same thing. And, you know, you've heard me say this if you listen to the show, Mike. Everybody wants to win. Everybody in this league's trying to win. Everybody's spending money to win. Everybody ain't going to win. It's just not mathematically possible. And for some programs, I say this every year too, the off season is the best part of the season because of the excitement, the build up, and then they get slapped across the forehead and reality sets in quick for some of these programs, because you got 16 of them, and I guarantee you the people at Mississippi State and even Vanderbilt. We saw what they did in Kentucky. You know, their donors are spending money too. They're paying NIL too. Yeah. They're trying to win too. You know, everybody wants to win. And then you've got the top tier teams, you know, the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Texases, the LSUs, the Tennessees. You know, they really expect to win. So all of them aren't going to be happy. And if you're one of those teams in late December and you're not in the playoff, and if it's Alabama and it's 2 years in a row, that's going to be a tough one. But right now, you ask me how I feel about it right now, I feel good about it, just like you. Feel good about it. Everything looks like it's lined up to have a big year, but you've got to go out and you got to get it done, you know. And if you're when you're playing, you know, they host Vanderbilt, but wherever, you know, if you're on the road in the fourth quarter and you're down one score and the other team gets the ball with, you know, 3 minutes to go, you got to stop them. Your defense has got to get off the field. You've got to get off the field on third down and give your team a chance to win. You know, if you're at Tennessee, you know, you can't be down on the goal line and throw an interception and have it go back the other way. I mean, you've got to make the plays to win the games. And you're going to be in several games where it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. And will Alabama make those plays? If you make them, you know, if you're the team that makes those plays, then you're in the playoff. But if you don't, then you're back in a January something bowl game that nobody gives two flips about, and you're saying, well, we'll get them next year. And Alabama fans, after 17 years of Nick Saban, aren't used to having to say we'll get them next year. So this is a big year for Kalen DeBoer and his staff.
I agree. One more thing. I got to go to break pretty soon, I think. But, hey, what's the direction of the future of the softball program under Patrick Murphy's? We got to get back to being elite again, man.
Well, he's got a great recruiting class coming in. He's got two pitchers coming in. One of them is the Moten girl from down at Daphne. Another one is from up in around the Detroit area. And so two top-tier pitches, you know, the girl from Curry, in-state girl, that's a dynamic athlete. So based on the recruiting class he's got coming in, based on who he should have returning, now, listen, you know, players could leave for NIL, but based on the roster that he has now with who's coming back and this recruiting class that's coming in, they should be back competing. And actually, they competed for Oklahoma City this year. I mean, they went to a super regional.
Right.
But I know what you're saying, you know, not have a losing record in the SEC and you know, be toward the top of the standings and the rankings. I think they got a chance to do that next year. But if they don't, you know, it will be concerning. This is 2 years in a row where they've been very average to mediocre within conference play. And, you know, they need to turn that around next year, but I think they could.
100% agree with you, Gary.
All right, Mike.
You're all over it, man.
Good to hear from you, man. Hey, listen, don't be a stranger, okay?
Yeah, I won't, man. I appreciate you, Gary. Thank you. Keep up the great work.
All right. Let's get to Robert here before we have to hit the break over in Birmingham. Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I know we're running up in the break.
No, take your time. Yeah. We're good. Listen, we're fine.
Yes, Sankey. Sankey owes us. I've been on Sankey for a year. He owes us a mulligan. He needs to step up in these negotiations. Hey, stay firm. We need five teams at least. You'll love this. I looked at SMU and Indiana's non-conference football schedule this year. Mm-hmm. Do you think they upgrade their schedule at all? Non-conference?
I doubt it.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Why would you?
I mean,
it worked for them. It worked for them.
Yes.
Right? You know?
It's like East Missouri State, Southwest Missouri. I mean, it's bad. It's not even. I'm not a Dabo fan at all, but you got to give Dabo credit. He's playing. I guess LSU, Troy, and somebody. I mean, you know, two teams that can beat you. So I hope Sankey holds firm, does his job, and last thing, Bucky McMillan's going to kill it at A&M. He's got the money down that he needs. He just signed a huge. He got the guy that Alabama didn't want. But what's the guy's name that he played for us 2 years ago? I can't think of his name, but he came and visited with us, and he signed with A&M.
Yeah.
Yes. A&M just signed him, and they just signed another huge guy this morning. He's going to kill it. I think A&M is going to. They're already a very competitive basketball program. I think they're going to be a top 20 program as long as he's there. He's that good. And whenever Oates goes to the NBA, I hope we get him. I don't know if he'll come. We can't probably do the NIL thing. But thank you. Do your job, man. See you, man. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Good to hear from you. All right. It's 9:29. Perfect time. We'll get to the break. I'm going to try to get this computer restarted again. And we're going to go to the break and come back with the Rocket Man, Drew Darm. Real quickly, before we do, let me mention the $99 shoot sale continues. T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Get by and see Tom and the folks there. And also check out that one-of-a-kind Alabama football memorabilia collection. Get a great football portrait or some game-worn cleats or some great Alabama memorabilia for the graduate in your family. We'll be back with Drew Darm and the Rocket Man next year on the Gary Harris Show. Tuscaloosa's Old Colony Golf Course is an 18-hole championship layout designed by 1976 U.S. Open champion Jerry Pate. Director of Golf John Gray and fitting specialist Bob Montgomery are PGA certified. Mike Shivitz is the head professional and director of the Tuscaloosa Junior Golf Program. Call today to secure a tee time at the Tuscaloosa Championship Golf Course. Everyone can play. 205-562-3201. Old Colony is operated by Para.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow trucks, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
Or you can shop online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. At Tuscaloosa Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, you pick it out and we'll work it out. Roll Tide.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
205-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm. Local, trusted, and here for you when you need us.
No representations made in the quality of legal services to be performed. Greater than quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds today, and again, the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 67. Tomorrow, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms. The high, 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide 100.9 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
But things are looking up, man. We got the Rocket Man, Drew Darm, coming up. Plus, let me give you an update. I got the computer up, so that's one reason I'm back in a good mood after dealing with that for 30 minutes. Yes, my shoes and socks are off. I'm sitting here bare feet because I'm not going to sit here with wet, soaked feet inside my socks the whole show. Just not going to do it. It's miserable. So I'm barefoot. I got the computer up. We got two good calls in the last segment that really put me in a good mood. Chase and I are still the only ones in the building, but now we are joined by Drew Darm. 977 ESPN Radio and the Rocket City of Huntsville. And co-host Talking Ball weekday mornings from 7 to 9 with Scott Tyson. Drew, glad you're with us, buddy. I need some help here. It's been a rough morning.
Yeah, I feel you, man. We've actually had a leak in our roof in our building. So in the recent days. So yeah, having to have water buckets is no fun.
No, it's just like the rain is just never going to go away. I mean, we've just been we're in the Amazon rain jungle now. But let's get to Bama baseball, Drew, because I had a caller in the last segment and asked me what I thought, and I said, well, you know, I wish they were hosting. I do. And I get it. I get they blew a 7-2 lead in Nashville. I get they blew a 5-0 lead at Florida. I get they lost to Tennessee. I still think their resume is host worthy. Having said that, if they weren't going to host, this was my choice for a regional. The proximity is great. A lot of Bama fans in South Mississippi and Southwest Alabama, it'd be easy travel for them. They beat Southern Miss during the regular season. Miami's got name recognition, but I think they've come in losing like six of their last seven. This is obviously, you know, a couple teams, Southern Miss, Miami, Alabama, all thinking about going in there and winning this regional. But I think if Alabama plays well, to me, they're the favorite. What do you think of the matchup and the regional site for Alabama over in Hattiesburg for Southern Mississippi?
Well, I mean, it's a tough draw. You know, they have beaten Southern Miss head-to-head 10-6 earlier during the regular season in Tuscaloosa. And certainly Miami is a traditional powerhouse. I mean, J.D. Arteaga, they actually faced him in the 90s as a pitcher in the College World Series. That just kind of shows you
where we're at.
If you're an aficionado for Alabama baseball, if you can remember back in those days of when Jim Wells was starting to, you know, turn Alabama into a baseball power at that time. But they ran into to JD. He was kind of a guy that, even though he was big as a house, he didn't throw all that hard. He was kind of a change of speed guy. But he's been the head coach for the last couple years. Yeah. And they've had kind of a roller coaster of a season. They started slow, then they got hot, and now they've lost 6 out of 7 going into this tournament. But certainly they're talented, so they're very, very dangerous. Interestingly, we had Will Miller on from Bama Central this morning on Talking Ball, and he believes they're going to start Riley Quick in game one after Quick did not throw at all in Hoover, which would be an interesting matchup because, as you know, in regional play, Gary, you followed it. I mean, it's very important to stay in the winner's bracket.
Absolutely.
It becomes extremely difficult if you fall into the loser's bracket because you got to burn through a lot of pitching to do so if you're going to have to play that extra game. So he believes Riley Quick, you know, will start game one. We'll see if that's the case. And certainly Miami is a quality opponent. And then I would think Tyler Fay would move to the Saturday slot. And really, Fay, I give him credit since he moved into the starting rotation about halfway through the season. He didn't have, a win until his last start against Missouri in the SEC tournament, but he pitched a lot better than that. I mean, he had some really tough luck where they weren't able to hold leads, and he also would have a bad maybe first inning like he did against Mizzou in Tuscaloosa. But then he would settle down and give you 5 good innings, and then he allowed the team to rally and win the game. So I think Fay has pitched better than his numbers. And then you've got Zane Adams. You know, Zane's last outing, they tried to bring him out of the bullpen to win that game against Tennessee, and he didn't pitch very well. He's kind of had an issue of starting slow this year but then settling into games. And he'll probably still be into the Sunday slot, and they would hope it would be a championship round. And so we'll see. But, you know, the funny thing is the committee is kind of inconsistent from year to year. But as you saw, Gary, obviously this year the SEC tournament carried a lot of weight because Vanderbilt came into the week considered a top 8 national seed. But nobody was talking about them being the number 1 overall seed. And they won the whole tournament. Tennessee and Ole Miss weren't even considered hosts. They win, you know, Tennessee wins a couple games, they end up hosting, and then, you know, Ole Miss goes all the way to the championship round. Now, I will say this, just to comment on it briefly, do I think Alabama should have hosted? I do. I think they got hosed because they beat Southern Miss head-to-head. Don't forget they beat Coastal Carolina as well, and they beat NC State, who ended up being a two. I felt like they should have been a host. And obviously the committee had them as the 17th host, so to speak, because of ending up as the two seed in the 16 seed regional. But I do think it's a winnable regional, but it's not going to be easy. Southern Miss, I have a lot of respect for them. Really good program, a very consistent year to year. And then Will Miller pointed this out to us as well, and a friend of mine did last night. I had forgotten about this, but just 2 years ago, in Brad Bohannon's final season before Jason Jackson took over, Columbia came to Tuscaloosa and won 2 out of 3 games, which was something I had forgotten. And Columbia is the 4 seed in that regional in Southern Mississippi. So it's a really tough regional overall. But like I say, man, you just got to survive in advance. And the most important game will be that one against Miami to try to get to the winner of Southern Miss and Columbia. And certainly I think Will Miller had a good catch there when he said Rob Vaughn said we're going to need, Riley Quick on Friday in Hoover. So wouldn't be surprised. This may be Quick's first Friday start, and they certainly need him to throw well, because last year I kind of felt like in Vaughn's first year, by the time they got to this point, they were completely out of gas. And they went 0-2 and went home, and so it was disappointing. But this year, they got a little bit of a respite after losing the second game in Hoover. They should be fresh, and I think overall they should be pretty healthy. I don't know of any injuries, and last year I think what derailed the team ultimately was too many pitching injuries. I think they're pretty healthy, and if they are, they got to like their chances in Hattiesburg.
Yeah, I think you said a lot there. You unwrapped a lot for me to follow up with you. And yeah, I had Coach Vaughn on Friday morning and asked him about the SEC tournament and how they handle the pitchers. And he explained that, what you said about Riley, he just, he got a big time arm and they just didn't want to use him. And I was curious, as to why they brought Zane Adams in out of the pen against Tennessee. And he said, well, he thought with where the game was at that time, it just was appropriate to bring him in. And, he didn't have his best stuff, which I think it's difficult sometimes when a guy started all year then to bring him out of the pen. But getting back to the SEC tournament, because I thought what you said is 100% true. You play 60 games and then they base so much on that tournament. Like you said, Vanderbilt becomes the number one overall seed. Alabama goes from hosting to not hosting. Tennessee host. Ole Miss made a run. But the one team it didn't impact, and again, I understand they're a top, they were gonna host. I'm still stunned that Auburn got a number 4 national seed. They went over there and laid an egg against Texas A&M, a team that's not even going to a regional. So the one team that the tournament didn't impact was Auburn. I know they're a good team, and Drew, you may say right off the bat they deserve a number 4 seed. I was stunned that they got a number 4 overall seed.
Well, I mean, I wasn't surprised they were hosting, and I wasn't surprised they were in the top 8. I thought going into the tournament that they were very likely a top 8 national seed.
I agree.
But I was surprised they were 4th. And we talked to Brian Matthews today, and he was as well. He thought they'd be 7th, somewhere around there. He thought they'd have a chance to be a top 8. But now they're 4th, and I think they were pleasantly surprised. And I think it ties for the highest they've ever been seeded. And they have the regional draw is not easy. NC State, Elliott A event, they're used to winning. That's not going to be, an easy draw. And Central Connecticut State is actually a really good mid-major program. They've got the nation's leading hitter. They've I think, been to the regionals 4 the last 6 years. So, again, Auburn's going to have to play well. But I still think that they're very likely going to advance. And then, hey, don't misunderstand something. I mean, Coastal Carolina, should that be who they match up with if Coastal can beat Florida? Coastal's really good. I mean, they don't make a lot of mistakes. They're certainly not going to be intimidated going to Plainsman's Park, but I think Auburn does have a good chance to get back to Omaha. We'll see if they do. It would be the 3rd trip under Butch Thompson. It's still hard to believe that Alabama hasn't been since 1999, but I think in many cases, they've had 3 or 4 opportunities to go since 99. They had 02, 06, 2010, and then a couple of years ago. So they've had a handful of opportunities. It just didn't work out. Hopefully Coach Sean can get them back to that level. We'll see. Certainly you'd like to see them get back to the Supers for the second time in 3 years, no doubt about that. But we'll see. But the first thing they need to do is win that game over Miami. And because of that, and because Riley Quick, I do think, is the best Alabama's guy, wouldn't be surprised if it's Riley Quick against the Canes. And hopefully he can get them deep in the game. And Alabama will swing the bats well. You need to that's the one thing I thought kind of in Hoover. They didn't swing the bats as well as I was hoping they would. They only scratched four across against Missouri, even though Missouri threw two of their best arms at Alabama because they had nothing to lose. So they threw the best they had. But I was hoping Alabama would swing it a little bit better. And then they had a couple of moments against Tennessee where they did, but it just the pitching wasn't consistent enough. So I guess the main thing I'm concerned about, I want them to swing the bats better, but I'm also concerned sans Carson Osmer about the bullpen, because pretty much everybody they threw against Tennessee wasn't effective. But the one thing they've been able to do is rest a lot of people. So hopefully that rest will help out. And again, go throw your best foot forward and try to beat Miami, send Miami into the loser's bracket, and then see who you play. Most likely it'll be the host, Southern Mississippi, but it's a team you know well, and that helps. If you've already played someone, you already kind of know what to expect. And certainly they have a great home field advantage at Pete Taylor Park, but I don't think it's anything Alabama's not going to be ready for, because, I mean, when you play in the SEC, it's the best league in the country.
Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond with us. Yeah, getting back to Friday's game against Miami, I'm with you 100% because I was texting with some people over the weekend, and they were like, well, no, you really need to just try to hold Riley for, get through that first game. And I'm like, I'm with you, Drew. You got to win the first game. I mean, you've got to win the first game. So, to me, you got to throw your best guy. And, then you set your pitching after that. But now, again, I'm going to have Rob Vaughn on Friday morning. We'll discuss exactly what the plan is. But I would be very surprised if they don't throw Riley Quick. When you look around the country at the SEC and the dominance that it has in college baseball, 13 teams in, maybe, Coach Greg Sankey said last night he thought it should have been 14. I guess he says it felt like A&M should have got in as well. But the run of national championships, is there any reason to believe that anybody outside of the SEC is going to have a chance to win a national championship this year? I know there's some good teams, but don't you think the national champion will come from this league again?
I mean, I do think that when you look at it, most likely that's what's going to happen. You can never guarantee anything. I mean, Georgia Tech won the regular season, the ACC, and yet, they didn't get a chance to host. They were probably, after Alabama, that's probably the team that got hosed a little bit. And Clemson's a really good team. So is Florida State. Neither one of them have ever won the national championship. I do think they're capable. But when you look at the SEC and its overall power, yeah, I mean, the odds are that it's going to be the SEC and that they'll have at least half the field. I would think at least four of the eight when you come down to who gets to Omaha will be out of the SEC. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It wouldn't even surprise me if it's six of the eight. And, I just think that's how good the league is. And I think the ACC is probably the second best league. I think Texas and Oklahoma leaving the Big 12 really crippled the Big 12. Certainly TCU is good. Oklahoma State got in, but they seem to be a shell of themselves. I don't think there's a really good team, coming out of the Big 12. And then again, like I said, there are some, like the Coastal Carolinas, the Southern Mississippis, out of some of the group of fives that are really, really good. But I think the odds are the SEC is going to be the national champion just because I'll just say this, the Big Ten, they're sticking their chest out because, they've got Ohio State and Michigan, the last two national champions in football. Well, let me tell you something. I don't expect Oregon to win the baseball national championship. And guess what? If it wasn't for those Pac-12 transplants, the Big Ten, Nebraska got in because they won the tournament, and they stole somebody's bid. But the Big Ten is not any good in baseball. And there's a reason they haven't won a national championship, I think since the early 70s, something like that. So, or it may even be the 60s. now that I think about it. But it's been a long, long time. And even with those Pac-12 transplants, they're not going to win it this year, in my opinion. And I'll be honest, long term, and I said this when it happened, I think the Big Ten's weakness in softball and baseball is going to hurt the Oregons and the Washingtons and the USCs and UCLAs, because it's going to be hard to recruit when they have to play in that kind of weather against that kind of competition.
Drew DeArmond with us, and just a few more minutes with Drew. Let's get to softball, because Alabama advanced to Supers. You know, it is what it is. I mean, they beat Oklahoma 2 out of 3. I don't want to take that away from Alabama here in Tuscaloosa, but out there in that environment, they weren't really competitive. And I'm with you on Patrick Murphy. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's won a national championship. He obviously knows what he's doing. I think this coming season, the 2026 season is a big season. And I'll tell you why, Drew, and I'll get your reaction. Went to the Women's College World Series last year. You know, went to the Supers this year. And as he pointed out, you know, a lot of teams trying to do that. But the standard here at Alabama is to compete for national championships. And I do think Alabama's lost ground in the SEC. The last two SEC regular seasons have been mediocre. You got a great recruiting class coming in. You got two top pitchers, the Moton girl from down in Daphne, that kid from up around Detroit that are supposed to be as good as it gets in high school pitching. Got the girl from Curry, who's an exceptional athlete that you know about. So on paper, you got a great recruiting class. You got some good parts coming back. I think next year, this program, you need to feel like, if you're an Alabama fan, that they've got a team that's capable of competing and winning a national championship. And I haven't felt that way the last couple of years.
Well, look, I mean, you're not going to win a national championship every year. And the one thing that makes me sick to my stomach is when people say, well, he should have won 3 or 4 national championships. Well, that's easy to say. And then some of these people don't even realize that the two greatest players, in my opinion, in Alabama softball history didn't win a national championship. And that's Kelly Kretschmann and Haley McClenny. Some people forget Haley was not on the team that won it all. She was on a team that reached the finals, but they didn't win it, okay? And Montana Fouts didn't win one. She was a great player. He's had a lot of great players that didn't win one. Only one won it. And so that – and I understand that people are thinking – their idea is, well, since he had those players that I spoke about, especially Haley when she came along, the program was rolling, and then Montana Fouts, that he should have won another national championship. Well, I'll just say this. Tennessee's never won one. Texas has never won one. And so what the thing is, they take a football mentality into softball because Nick Saban won, you know, 6 national championships. That ain't got a damn thing to do with softball. And then Patty Gasso, oh, well, she's won 4 in a row. Well, that's Oklahoma. It's not Alabama. Okay, so give Gasso credit. Now, she's lost her share to Alabama, including a regular season series this year. Do I think Patrick Murphy is capable of winning another one? Yes, I do. Now they have had the program has slipped a little bit, but I mean, you're still talking about going to the College World Series 3 of the last 5 years, and then going to Supers this year and winning 19 straight regionals at home. That's unbelievable in the regional round. And so the way I equate it is, it's the some of these same people that are saying you got to force Patrick Murphy into retirement. What is your plan to replace him? Every time I ask that, I don't get a response, because most of the time these people wouldn't know a softball from a volleyball, but they follow it from afar and they don't really know. Okay. I mean, because if Coach Murphy retires, you do know if you don't have a plan in place, the entire roster is going to disintegrate. Okay, you sure as heck aren't going to have Vandegrift back. And then some of the recruiting class could go elsewhere. And then if you listen to the way Patrick Murphy handles himself and the way he's represented this university, like, I don't know if any of these people even listened to his press conference after the loss in Oklahoma. There's not a classier representative of Alabama than Patrick Murphy. Okay, and also some of these geniuses that like to flap their gums behind fake accounts or whatever on Twitter, they don't understand he's also raised most of his own money and raised it himself for the facility upgrades of the stadium, okay? He's done a lot of his stuff independent of the athletic department. But these people wouldn't know because they're dumb as bricks, okay? A lot of these people that chirp on Twitter can't spell their own name. I can't stand a lot of them. They're not, and they're cowards. I blocked the guy this week. He probably didn't know who Bray Hubbard was a year ago. Calls himself Bray Hubbard's burner. All he ever does is call for people firing. The guy is a clown. And if he wants a piece of me, you can give him, if he calls your station, give him my phone number. The gutless piece of trash wouldn't even have any kind of gut to call me because he hides. That's all these people do is hide.
Hey, Drew, I didn't mean to get you worked up, buddy.
But all I'm saying is that the program, I think, is about to have a little bit of a resurgence.
I do, too.
Programs have dipped.
I think next year
I saw Jim Wells' program.
Yeah, I think next year is going to be a big year. And I probably didn't phrase that as well as I should have. I should have phrased it more in – because you're right, winning national championships is hard. Getting back to the upper echelon of the SEC is probably the way I should have phrased it. And I'm with you. I think next year's team will be able to do that.
When you phrase it, and I'm not talking about you, but when you say they're only making the World Series, how stupid are you sounding?
Because
only eight teams make the World Series.
Right.
All they do now is get to the Supers just barely. Well, a lot of people don't even get to the Supers. So, I mean, you people just don't understand how hard it is. And then in baseball, look, Alabama hasn't been since 99 to the College World Series. It's very, very hard to do. And that's why if Coach Vaughn can break through and get them back to Omaha, that will be a groundswell moment. Because I used to enjoy Jim Wells' teams quite a bit when I was a student there and following them to Omaha. It was fun. There's nothing better than the College World Series. Greg Byrne has said on many occasions, because he came from Arizona, which is a baseball school. They won the national championship during his tenure there as athletic director. He's like, there's nothing like Omaha. It's so awesome.
Oh, it is.
And I hope that Coach Vaughn can get Alabama back there. And I think he can.
Hey,
and
Drew, I gotta go, buddy. Hey, listen, appreciate you as always. And try to stay dry up there in North Alabama, okay?
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you, Drew. All right. It's 9:57. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this first hour of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. It's been an interesting hour, but kind of settled in now for this second hour. Computer's working finally, and we're good to go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. Fact is cold as hell.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Bill Conley, ESPN college football analyst, Brayden Gaul, AthlonSports.com. Coming off a big Memorial Day weekend, hopefully you had a great weekend, saluting those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. We'll talk some college football. We'll cover SEC spring meetings, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
Oklahoma City takes a commanding 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals after winning Game 4, 128-126 against the Minnesota Timberwolves. NBA MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander finished with 40 points on the nose, 30 shots for him. Jalen Williams, J-Dub, the one in the starting lineup, had 34 points. Chet Holmgren added 21 on 9-for-14 from the floor, 7 rebounds as well for Holmgren. Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Dante DiVincenzo both had 23 and 21 points respectively. Jaden McDaniels led the starting lineup with scoring with 20. Anthony Edwards finished with 16. Julius Randle with 5. In Major League Baseball, the Padres walked off the Marlins 4-3 in 11 innings. Shohei Ohtani hit his 19th home run.
Their versatile spaces could be customized to make your gathering unforgettable. The Venue Tuscaloosa Food Hall and Event Space, located at 6052 Watermelon Road, North Ford.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds today, and again, the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 67. Tomorrow, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms. The high, 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, May 27, 2025. And boy, things have taken a dramatic turn for the better in 1 hour. Computer's up and running. I've got the shoes and socks off now, so my feet are dry. I've got, there's other people in the building. I see DC just showed up. So we feel like that we made a lot of progress here. Glad you stuck it out with us through that first hour. And we got a good second hour on tap at 10:30, the Patterson Law Firm legal segment with North Patterson. But right now, Casey Smith on golf after being out yesterday for the holiday. He graciously agreed to join us this morning because there's a lot of stuff going on in the golf world. That is for sure. Good morning, Casey.
Good morning, Gary. Hope you're doing well.
I'm getting better. It's been a rough morning, but things are on the uptick, Casey. That's for sure. They're on the uptick for Ben Griffin. I mean, what a story. 4 years ago, he'd given up his golf career, had gotten into, I guess he was in property management or something, and here he is now, a two-time winner this season on the PGA Tour, held off Matty Schmidt and Bud Colley and others to win the Charles Schwab Challenge out at Colonial in Texas. And, wow, just another one. I guess once you've got the talent, I don't know how it came back around for him, but it certainly did, Casey.
He was a former mortgage broker and property manager and some guys that saw his talent that were playing on a regular basis with him. I mean, he was a two-time All-American at North Carolina, and I heard a story, you know, his parents got hit really hard in the recession, and so it affected his ability to play golf at places, and so he had to sort of go out and grind at munis and friends and all that. And so it's a great story. And now he's a two-time winner. He won the Zurich with Andrew Novak, and now he's won the Colonial and got a new Defender. They give a new car out, vintage car every year, plus the jacket, plus a really big payday. And there's a lot more that comes with being a multi-time winner on tour in terms of exemption. So congrats to Ben Griffin, former North Carolina golfer, and you know, a little bit of a not your traditional swing out there. And then one other thing is, you know, he's the only player to have won with a Max Fly golf ball in forever.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like, over a decade. He's won twice this year on tour with a Max Fly. No one had won on tour. I mean, it's close to, like, 20 years. And you can buy them off the shelf, and they're really cheap. I was reading about that. It's definitely a unique story, and congrats.
Interesting note for us in that tournament, Bud Colley, who, let's just be honest, Casey, he's close to winning. I mean, he's been in contention a lot this year. He finished solo third, and I know he's, you know, going to rue the tee shot on the par 3 13th, which by, you know, wasn't a hard tee shot. I mean, I think his ball was only the second ball in the water there all day on Sunday, and he was in the next to last group or one of the last groups, and that led to a double bogey 5 and took him out of contention. He makes par there, and who knows? I mean, you know, he was in contention to win that golf tournament, but another big payday for him, more FedEx Cup points. He gets into this week's Memorial. Jack's tournament. So another very productive weekend for Bud Colley, who has come back from his own trials and tribulations with his health. And, of course, now going to Memorial, there'll be a lot of stories done on him because that's where he was in that car accident that, you know, let's be honest, nearly took his life and was a very difficult rehab for him. So way to go, Bud.
Yeah, I mean, just such having such a great year. He's exceeded the $1.840 million earnings mark this year. Had tied T6 at the Players, T4 at the Valspar, and actually that they didn't even have that included. So this is going to be like a 2.5. Now he's got this recent third place finish. Like $2.5 million that he's earned on the year. He's already up to 36 on the FedEx Cup list after starting, way down the list to start the year. His game looks like it's in a great place. We've heard Justin Thomas talk about Bud Colley now on a handful of occasions playing with him at home. Someone he's always thought had a great game, great swing. They share a teacher again now. I told you a few weeks back around the Players, I thought that Bud Colley, if he continued playing, would have a chance. If he wins, I think he'll get one. He'll have a chance to be a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup. And he was a stellar player in college, right? And he's played on all the Walker Cup teams. That car accident really did derail his career for a little bit. And it seems like now that he's, a dad, he's healthy, he's really playing his way around. And I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't have another good week this week. The courses that he's seemingly playing good at are courses where the winning score is a little bit closer to par than the traditional tournament of 20 unders or whatever. And showed again this week, that double bogey is a killer. I mean, he finishes solo second for sure if he makes the double and probably puts a little pressure on Griffin if he makes a par.
Yeah, could have been a lot different.
Could have been a lot different. I mean, it would have been a lot different. And you could see his game yesterday. He was in a good spot yesterday. And, you never know what's going to happen. But when you start out and you turn 4 under and then you get 5 under on 11, you're thinking, I'm going to make a couple of more of these and probably slip in the back door.
One mistake.
And, one mistake. And that's what I really think killed him going to 14T. He had 4 holes left. And I mean, we all know what it feels like when you make a bad number. You're really frustrated. And I'm sure at that point when he's thinking, I got a chance here, and then it goes away, what that does to you mentally, you're then just like, you can sense he's probably just trying to hold on.
Well, so, let me ask you, Casey, for a pro like that, I mean, you could say nerves, but like they said correctly on the – actually at the time was listening on satellite radio when he dunked it. And they said, listen, that's just a – that's inexcusable because you've got all that room to the left of the pin. The water really should not even come into play there. What happened? Did he mishit it? Wrong club? To make a mistake?
Yeah, I mean, it just looked like a really bad swing. Okay. It wasn't the swing that he's been making. And, that can come from a lot of things. At 5 under par is where I was really most shocked. When you're 5 under par, you're
playing
cooking,
well. Yeah.
You're playing well, especially there, because that would have been one of the lower rounds for the week. And he's cooking away. Everything's dialed in to just have a really bad swing. Makes you wonder if they were in between clubs. He was trying to do something. Usually that comes from trying to hit some type of hold shot or, knock down to where you just get stuck. And so, unfortunate, bad timing, but at least he did finish with 4 pars to finish in third, collect a bigger check, continue to build this momentum. And, when your peers are talking very good about you, especially one that's won a lot of golf tournaments, that's well respected, that's a good thing. I feel like that his best game's ahead, and I really do hope he wins. I'm pulling for him as hard as anybody.
Too. And going back to Memorial, like I said, it's because there's no doubt, man, that automobile accident that curtailed his career, and probably without that happening,
he really almost died.
Yeah, without that happening, he probably. would have been a winner by now. But to come back like he has, playing the way he's playing, he's one of the guys to watch. And I want to get to the Memorial in a moment. And I know you got to visit with Jack Nicklaus here recently, and I know he's happy to have that tournament back 2 weeks in front of the U.S. Open and not a week. But one more question about a former Bama guy, because the Ben Griffin story made me think about the grinders out there. And you know the tour life well, having been around these guys and your time with Callaway. And when you look at, Ben Griffin, he just said, at the time he wasn't making money. Like you said, there were financial issues and he just couldn't afford to stay out there. A guy like Robbie Shelton, who is back and forth a little bit between the two tours and Korn Ferry and PGA Tour, and, was plus nine after two rounds, missed another cut, is missing a lot of cuts when he does play the PGA Tour. At what point, of course, I'm sure he's got people that are helping to finance him, but because, again, with the money that's being made by the top guys, you still don't think about this as much in this day and age, but there are still guys out there that struggle to make it from week to week. And a guy like Robbie Shelton, how long do you give it before you look at something else?
Well, I mean, he's won $5.540 million on his career earnings, so – that's really good.
In the real world, it would be incredible.
I mean, he's 29 years old. If you divide that by six post-year college, I mean, that's really good. That's really good. And probably made another million, maybe even a million and a half off the course because he was a heralded player coming out of college. I think, the fields just get deeper and deeper because the players get more talented. And what he was at Alabama was he was just like it was lasers. He hit Scottie Scheffler type iron shots directly to the pin when Scottie gets going. I don't see that anymore. And it's golf. And, a guy like him, he's in to cover expenses and all that. He's had a couple different equipment manufacturers. That's a tough thing. You're playing different balls, different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're traveling all over and you're playing back and forth tours. And it's almost like, hey, I was just looking at his, points on the Korn Ferry. He probably should go back and play the Korn Ferry the rest of the year and lock up his PGA Tour card because he was trending to do that. And now he's slipped a little bit outside that number. And there's a couple of ways to do that out there. But I know, when you get a chance to get in the field, and you can go play for a huge purse, it's hard to say no. It just hasn't fared well for him. But, a fair question. I think it more guys probably a little further down. That's where you go, it might be time to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm sure Bud Cooley, given the injuries and stuff he had to deal with, I'm sure there was a point where he was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Griffin's came from just a financial need. He didn't have any status. It's really hard to get out there. That's the problem. There's guys, look at the Bobby Wyatt. He's as good of a player that's ever played at Alabama. And he's truly as good of a player as ever played golf at Alabama. And while he was there, and it was tough for him. So it's just a fickle sport, and there's a lot of variables, a lot of moving parts, and it's very expensive. You got to pay caddies and all that. They're getting paid every week now. There's a retainer to them, and you got teams of people. So that number that I quoted is definitely pre-tax and not, and he's had to pay out people. So, but it's still overall, even if you cut it in half. It's still a really good living for a young person.
He's doing okay. All right, I just wanted to ask you about it though, because I you see guys that you follow and you see them struggling. You're just curious. But all right, let's look toward the Memorial. 2 weeks before the U.S. Open now, which is, I know Jack Nicklaus was not happy last year when it was the week before the U.S. Open, even though he handled himself with class and etiquette as he always does. But this is a big tournament. This is a special event, and and it's a signature event. And 2 weeks ahead of the U.S. Open, this is one of those that the TV ratings will spike for sure.
Yeah, I mean the Memorial probably outside of the TPC Sawgrass event, the Players, it's probably the biggest tournament year in, year out. I mean, they get the strong – everyone always pays respect to him. He gets the strongest field. That's what makes it really a tournament. The golf course is world-class. Everything they do there is world class. And I thought it was cool that every year from the start, I think they started this tournament in 1976, they have had a really big committee of honoring past legends. It was all the way until like 2000 until he was actually honored. Jack was honored. And then people who've made a big impact in golf. And this year's honoree is Barbara Nicklaus, his wife, which he doesn't have any say in that or anything to do with it. They're just, you know, they're the first lady of golf is what we were calling her that day. She's fantastic people and have left a legacy on the game. And look, I mean, they all show up. That tells you something. And I know the purse is pretty big now, but even before the purses were big as an elevated event, You look up and the top 50 players in the world are all there. You know, no one's skipping.
All right. Liv, PGA Tour. Now there's some stuff about Sergio. Should he be given an exemption in the U.S. Open? The U.S. Open usually doesn't give exemptions for non, you know, U.S. Open winners. But 25 straight U.S. Opens, he tried to qualify. He didn't make it. Was close, but didn't make it there. Of course, you know, he's making his case on social media and all the Liv proponents are as well. Do you think he should be given a spot in the U.S. Open?
I mean, he's a past major champion. If you're looking at it from a ratings perspective, 25 straight, he's a really good player and he's having a really good year. If he wasn't having a really good year, I'd say no. But he's having a really good year and he's been good for the game in terms of global. He brings eyes to the event. And I think it's a good step in the right direction to, if they do that, to really bring all these people back together. Someone has to take the leadership role that's not being taken by the PGA Tour commissioner and sticking the olive branch out and trying to make this right, because golf is just so much better with them all together. And now here lives also, you know, they put out to their players that are, Dustin Johnson's contract ends at the end of this year. Brooks is in at the end of next year, and Bryson Rahms is actually 2 years down. But they told all the guys who were coming up for your renewals that they're not going to get those big paydays, those upfront paydays going forward. And that's fair, too. That also lets me believe that there's potentially this is going to get done, even though they're saying nothing's getting done. There's not a lot of optimism. The latest updates I've got from behind the scenes is they're in a little bit of a stalemate. So hopefully something like this, the leadership move to maybe get this done. And, you know, Oakmont's a course that it's a ball striker. You have to be someone that really hits your ball well, and that's something that Sergio does. And if you can enhance your field, that's what you want to do. If you can make your field better, you should.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was reading up on it a little bit. It said, you know, the U.S. Open, those that traditionally don't give exemptions unless you're a multiple major winner or, of course, a former U.S. Open winner. But we'll see. I like Sergio. I always enjoyed watching him play. So we'll see if he's able to get into the U.S. Open on an exemption.
The guys at Callaway said that was the best. Like, I used to ask them always who's the best player to ever come to the Performance Center and all the numbers. And they said him. He was the number one consistent ball striker of anyone. Tiger Woods and everyone that had ever gotten on any of those, collecting all the data points that they collect.
Yeah, I think, well, he's had a great career, but I think when you look at 25 years ago, Sergio, people would have predicted him to win multiple, maybe 6, 8, 9, 10 major championships.
Agreed.
Reason, it didn't happen. All right, we touched on this last week, and we only got a couple minutes left, but we know this, too. We did mention that Alabama men's golf got a terrible break with the weather in Reno, but still, they didn't advance to the NCAA championships. The women didn't either. You've just built this incredible state-of-the-art teaching and golf facility here in Tuscaloosa. I know NIL is a factor. I know Alabama men's golf has felt the effects of NIL, but Alabama golf programs appear to have slipped from where they were, say, 5 years ago. What can you do to get back? Because college golf is another sport where people are pushing more so, but then you're also in the NIL era. So it's a different time and a different place. Can Alabama men's and women's golf get back to national championship caliber?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the men can immediately for sure. Even if they didn't go heavy in the NIL world, I mean, there's one easy fix for both. Money talks, and that's where we're at right now. You could go get a couple. You could all you gotta, you know, only takes a couple, right? You just need a couple players. So it's not like it's crazy numbers, especially when you're talking about this revenue sharing of the whole pie of the athletic department. I mean, you've invested in the golf facilities. You keep those boosters happy. You might want to give them a little slice of the pie. I think $100,000 buys a really good player, or gets a really good player, from what I gather from the numbers I hear. And the women, you know, I mean, I've said this all along. I was offered the UAB women's job one time, and the AD asked me what I would do. And I said, look, who are the best players on the LPGA Tour? Asians right now. Now it's flipped back. But you could really go after that market and bring a couple of those players over, as the Stanfords do, and probably they don't care. They want to come play golf. You show them this facility, you're going to get the best talent coming from Asia, period. They want to go play. I coached at Birmingham Southern. They were the hardest workers. They were all in. So you give them a facility like that where they think they can really improve. I mean, it's just my 2 cents. But, I mean, I think it's a way to get – he's always had a couple of international kids.
Oh, yeah.
So on the women's team. So, you know, it'd be something if I was there. That's what I would be probably looking to do.
All right, Casey, great stuff as always. I wish we could even go longer, but we're really out of time. I've been running behind all morning, buddy.
Our man Angel Cabrera won again.
Yeah, he did. Back-to-back majors. How about that?
Crazy.
I mean, it is.
Last thing, this is funny, putting with a jailbird putter. You can't make it up.
Isn't that something? People like to say tradition doesn't, never leaves you. Well, talent doesn't either. And it got some talent. Thank you, Casey.
See you, buddy.
All right, we got to get to the break. I'm trying to get back on time here. But before we do, I want to mention to you the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. I'm back in there pretty good, man. I'm feeling good, Chase. I'm back hitting it pretty hard again, man. So join me over at the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. You'll be glad that you did. It's a great facility, great people. Those brand new pickleball courts are sharp. YMCA, 2300 13th Street, downtown. We're going to come back with a short segment, and then we'll be back. Hopefully North Patterson will get in with the weather for our legal segment. So this is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the Tuscaloosa Thread headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. There is a slight 2 in 5 risk for strong to severe thunderstorms south of the I-2059 corridor later this morning. A marginal 1 in 5 risk covers counties north and west of Tuscaloosa until early evening. The greatest threat is for damaging winds and large hail. Tuscaloosa has received more than 5.5 inches of rainfall above normal so far this year. 12.93 inches just since the 1st of May. 52 years ago today, Brent in Bibb County was devastated by an F4 tornado. It killed 5 people that Sunday night. And gas prices are down on average 3 cents a gallon since last week. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding our showroom to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda 3100.
Just because Seize the Deal lets you eat big without breaking the bank. These deals won't last forever. Visit seizethedeal.com/cities/Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds today, and again, the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today, 83. Tonight's low, 67. Tomorrow, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms. The high, 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Down to the pylon! Touchdown, Alabama!
On Tide 100.9.
Gary Harris Show, and we're kind of running a little bit behind. Like I said, it's been an interesting morning, but we are having some fun here. Tell you what we are going to do, because North Patterson, I'll check with him. He could have got held up with the weather. He's not here yet. He's doing the next segment. We are going to go ahead, because I don't get this Greg Sankey sound in. We may not get it in, and I want to play it because SEC spring meetings are underway down in Destin. He met with the media last night, and was asked about the betterment of the game outside of the SEC. This is that Q&A from last night with Greg Sankey.
So to get back to the playoff, but it also, I think, gets to governance to a certain degree. Talking about your ADs have said we've given up too much. You're sort of, again, in a position of thinking about the greater good of college football that was talked about a lot from other commissioners last week when there was some decision. Seeing how do you balance what is best for the SEC with what is best for maybe if we'd be giving up a little bit for the SEC would be better for the whole.
Look at a track record. We didn't need 12. Did we say to four, we would have had half the four last year. I don't need lectures from others about good of the game. I don't lecture others about good of the game. And coordinating press releases about good of the game. You can issue your press statement, but I'm actually looking for ideas to move us forward. I'll go back and say, I thought the 12-team design was really well considered at the time. We never had a unanimous vote to support the 12-team playoff. But even though I was involved in that work, that didn't mean everybody in this league when we were at 14 thought it was the best idea. But you engage in that type of problem solving. Our 8 or 9 game schedule, that goes back to really 2018. We've been talking about eliminating divisions from 2018 forward. And we expanded. So it became a different conversation, and the shape of that conversation has changed over time. And so while you ask that of me, I'll go back and say, we didn't need a 12-team college football playoff, thought it was good for the game. I was involved in that. Others held it up. I thought it was important to get after that work in a time-efficient manner, yet we held up, and then we went fast. We didn't go slow so we could go fast. We didn't do anything. And then we went fast without solving some of the other elements. I think I have a responsibility to push as well. And I think my membership has a responsibility and the desire to push me. And that is a hard issue. If you want to go inside what it's like to sit in this role, I think about the responsibility I have here. I think about the responsibility more broadly, all the time. Yesterday, I said, we don't apologize here. I'm proud we have 13 games. I wish it was 14 in baseball. I'm proud of what we did in men's basketball. I'm proud that we have, I think it's 5 of 8. Is it 5 of 8 in softball? I actually think that can make other people better, too. And when I go back to the college football playoff, I'm open to ideas. There's just not a lot of incoming. My phone's not ringing off the hook with, hey, here's another way to look at it. And so we'll continue to be thoughtful. We'll continue to try to provide perspective and information to our members and help them guide the decision. And ultimately, I recognize I'm the one who ends up typically in front of the podium explaining not just myself, but ourselves. So good luck to me.
All right, interesting. And, you know, definitely got a shot in there at the ACC and the Big 12, Greg Sankey. But, you know, his job is to be the Southeastern Conference Commissioner. It's not to be the overseer for the game as a whole or college sports as a whole. And, he doesn't need lectures from others about the good of the game. I, you know what? I haven't agreed with Greg Sankey on everything, but I do like his stance here. Now you have the Big 12 and ACC commissioners complaining about it. And, you poke the bear, you might not like the growl that you get. And I think that Greg Sankey, Chase, was definitely growling last night in Destin.
I am here and I'm not afraid of anybody.
I think he was growling. All right, it's 10:34. I'll try to find out North Patterson's not here with us. I'll give him a call during the break. But if we, you know, if weather could have got him, could have wound up in court. I don't know what the situation is. But if we have North, we will get to our legal segment this hour, as always, being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm. But we'll be back either way on the other side of this break. Been an interesting morning, but Chase and I are getting through it. We'll be back after this. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours events.
And 60 pre-owned vehicles available. Visit them at 3200 Skyland Boulevard East, Tuscaloosa. Or check out their inventory online at MercedesOfTuscaloosa.com.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk. Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor's social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. It paid for me to be the first person in my family to go to school. That education got me to the first day at my dream job, which I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job and the home loan benefits I got from the Army National Guard helped me buy my first house. I also know that I will be one of the first to respond if my community ever needs me.
Sponsored by the Alabama Army National Guard. Aired by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Alabama Securities Commission protects you from financial fraud. Anyone asking you for investment money must be licensed. You're careful with your money. Fraudsters aren't. Before you invest, call our hotline at 1-800-222-1253 to verify the licensing of the person making an offer and the product. Don't lose your hard-earned money. Learn to protect yourself at asc.alabama.gov. Paid for by the Investor Protection Trust and brought to you by the Alabama Broadcasters Association and this station.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to the Gary Harris Show, and I'm just, Chase and I are sharing a laugh just about, you know what, when you're live for 2 hours of radio every morning, usually you like to have the show kind of nice and tight, and but when you drive through a pouring, and I don't know when you came in early, I know you came in, but when I was coming in this morning, I mean, I was doing the old two hands on the steering wheel, driving about 45 miles an hour. And then got here and got parked, and the rain had let up by the time I got on Skyland. And then I got here and I got parked, and I, you know, because I got here about a quarter till, I guess. But I was just sitting in my vehicle for a minute before I came up, and the bottom fell out again. So Chase saw me when I came in, even though I got a little windbreaker on, trying to run full speed through the parking lot, up those stairs. My feet got soaked. So I did the only thing that you can do. I took off my shoes and socks. So I've been sitting here barefoot in the studio trying to let them dry out. But it's all good. It's all good. And again, update on North Patterson, our Patterson Law Firm segment. We will have it, a shortened version, and North will not be in studio with us, but he will be with us on the phone in our next segment, and we are going to talk about breaking down personal injury compensation, what victims are really entitled to. Right now, let's jump out on the Storage Center hotline and check in with our pal, Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Man, I'll tell you, hey, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel.
Yeah, I was this morning, I promise you. I was so worried.
Please tell me you weren't wearing khakis.
No, I was wearing
I was wearing shorts. Like I said, it's just my feet. My feet got soaked pretty good. Hit a couple of puddles, and so as soon as I got in, and then the computer was down. Well, you've heard me recap the morning. It was off to
start. I've been listening all the way through, and you know, trying to get in with all your guests and everything. I thought I'll just hold in case there's a break.
You should have
brought your skim board or your boogie board. Step on it, push off, and slide your way into. I mean, it's a river out in front of our street. I mean, we're on a slope, and man, it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a wet one, man, I'm telling you.
Well, anyways, I'm glad you're safe, and I've enjoyed your show this morning, and just ought to give a laugh. Oh, by the way, who's that young buck you got in the studio there spinning all kinds of really great music?
Chase is, like we said, he goes beyond his 25 years when it comes to music. He is definitely, and I like to think our segment has, our show has been a, you know, kind of precipitated that with going. He has started going back into the files and learning about music that's long before he was on the planet, man. So it's been fun.
I know. I just thought I'd give him a little shout out.
Yeah,
right there.
Well, he deserves it. I mean, he absolutely.
It never rains in Alabama, but dude, let me warn you, it pours, man, it pours. Hey, you know what? I do not even want to hear anything about a drought come June.
No, not right now.
Uh-uh.
We're our rain reserve is plenty high. Hey, good to hear from you, Raggory.
You got it. Have a blessed day, you guys. Be safe.
Thank you, sir. All right, 10:43 here on the Gary Harris Show, and we're going to take a break here in a moment. Something I want to mention to you, though, is my friend Mike Hunger, the general manager at Who's Q and Brew. As I've talked to you about before, he has just great, great specials every month. And the June specials are coming soon. They're a week away, but stay tuned to the show this week, and I'll make an announcement on some incredible specials for the month of June at Who's Q and Brew off Highway 82 in the Northridge Center in Tuscaloosa. We're going to come back with North Patterson. We are going to get in our legal segment, and it is breaking down personal injury compensation, what victims are really entitled to. We'll do that next here as we get ready to close out the Gary Harris Show.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Bill Conley, ESPN college football analyst, Braden Gall, AthlonSports.com. Coming off a big Memorial Day weekend, hopefully you had a great weekend, saluting those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. We'll talk some college football. We'll cover SEC spring meetings, all starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
When you sponsor a job on Indeed, candidates can find it easier, so you can hire easier. Redeem your $75 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials, and for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A mix of sun and clouds today, and again the chance of a few passing showers and thunderstorms through tonight. The high today 83, tonight's low 67. Tomorrow, cloudy at times with scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms. The high 82. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Harris Show, and we are going to have a shortened segment with North Patterson, but we're glad we could get him on the phone. Remember, Patterson Law Firm presents the second hour of the Gary Harris Show every day. If you have any legal questions, call 205-345-1000. Patterson Law Firm, local, trusted, and here for when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
And North is going to be discussing personal injury compensation, breaking it down, what victims are really entitled to. Good morning, North. How are you doing this morning?
Gary, I'm doing well. You doing okay?
Yeah, we've been battling the weather, and it's been a tough morning for everybody. I know during the commute this morning, the weather was brutal. I know when I was coming in, it was raining cats and dogs. So this is one of those days that we don't want anybody to have an automobile accident, but we're certainly more prone to them on days like this, that's for sure. If you are involved in an accident and you're injured, it might not even be an automobile accident. It could be a workplace injury, but whatever. It's really hard to understand what you're entitled to, and that's where lawyers come in, like yourself, right?
That's right, Gary. That's right. When we're looking at a case, we're looking at two different points or two different types of damages. One of those being what's called economic damages. What are the client's medical expenses? What are their lost wages, you know, income due to the inability to work anymore? What's their loss of earning capacity? You know, when injuries prevent the victim from returning to their previous job or career? And then we're also looking at out-of-pocket expenses, you know, transportation, your home modifications, you know, everything that it takes to kind of make your life normal again. But also, those economic damages are the type of damages that you can actually point to a number. Okay, here's my medical bills. Here's that contractor's note that says I've got to make my, bathroom ADA or wheelchair accessible. So we're looking at those numbers, but we're also going to look at what's a different type of damages, what's called non-economic damages. Now that means we're going to put a number on the pain and suffering, your physical pain that you're going through every single day, your mental anguish, and your emotional distress. You know, Gary, when some people have been in an accident, before the accident, they're waking up in the morning, they're jumping out of bed, they're brushing their teeth, they're getting on with their day. Well, here comes the accident in their life, and they can't sleep anymore because their back's hurting, or they're in a wheelchair now, God forbid. But it changes things. So we're going to be putting, you know, a number on that for them. You also, on that non-economic category, you're looking at the loss of enjoyment of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone can no longer enjoy hobbies that they would normally do, go to grandkids' baseball games or softball games or any other life pleasures like that. And so the main two categories we're looking at are non-economic damages, which is your pain and suffering, mental anguish, and your economic damages, which are your medical bills, you know, lost wages, lost earning capacity, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's a situation where, we've talked about this before on the show with you and with Paul Patterson as well. Sometimes injuries, like you alluded to, don't show up until later, and that's why it's important, regardless of whether you feel anything at the time. If you're involved in an accident, whether it's in an automobile or maybe it's at the workplace or anything where there's, you know, potential injury, you probably don't need to wait until later. You probably need to go ahead and get in touch with your attorney right away, right?
That's right, Gary. That's right. You know, one thing that we'll do is, we tell our clients our job, we're going to make them whole again. You know, if they're worried about medical bills, worried about, oh, I don't want to get in debt, you know, my goal is to get them paid back for what they've been suffered through. And so that's one thing I tell everybody, look, go to the doctor. Don't worry about that. You let me fight for you. I'll make it up back in for you.
All right, let me ask you about this, and this is off topic. We got about 3 minutes left. Workman's comp in a workplace. I think a lot of people understand that they're covered by workman's compensation, but they're not even sure what it is until they need it. How does that work if you're hurt at work? In addition to having an attorney, how do you work with people that are injured at work and have workman's compensation? A lot of times I think a lot of people just feel like, well, I got workman's compensation. I don't need anything else. But sometimes you do.
You do, yeah, absolutely. And my advice, if you are hurt on the job, you know, call us, get with an attorney, let us, you know, point you in the right direction and just make sure everything is fair to you. Every single workers' compensation case under Alabama falls under the Workers' Compensation Act. Pain and suffering is not allowed under that act. And so if anybody is interested in workers' compensation, it is its own set of laws. You could go and read the Alabama workers' compensation statute, but it's very detailed and kind of black-letter law in the state of Alabama.
Couple more minutes with North Patterson from Patterson Law Firm. This is our weekly legal segment, and we're talking about, you know, what you're entitled to if you're hurt in an accident. The process that you go through as an attorney, North, once someone calls you, kind of speak to that and how it works. And if someone, you know, we've talked about this before, some people have what I call attorney phobia. You know, they're scared to call lawyer. They're scared the minute they call that the charges are going to start. You know, it's attorney syndrome, you know, kind of like some people have white coat syndrome with doctors. Some people have lawyer syndrome. How does the process work? You're not asking for any money up front, or we'll never ask for any money, right?
No, not at all, Gary. I'm glad you bring this up. You know, we pride ourselves on being accessible to our clients. We pride ourselves. You're not going to get a call center when you call Patterson Law. When you call our office, our support staff at the front, they'll answer the phone. They'll immediately patch you through to either me or my father, Paul. And if we're not in the office, you'll be getting a call from our cell phone. And the greatest thing about all this, all of it is completely free to you. You're never going to get charged. You know, we're happy to take your call, give you any legal advice, free of charge, free consultation. So I tell clients and prospective clients all the time, do not be afraid to pick up that phone. You will not get a bill from me.
Outstanding. Great stuff. I know the weather kept you from getting in studio with us today, but glad you could get on with us for a little bit. And one more time before you get off the phone with us, give everybody the contact number, how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. If you want to reach me, you can call me at the Patterson Law Firm at 205-345-1000. Be happy to take your call.
Thank you, North.
Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate you.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. And we're glad you were with us this morning and feel like we kind of got in a rhythm as the show went on. As far as the weather is concerned, I know a lot of people now are starting to get frustrated with it. It's like we got to, but outside of trying to drive in it, which is a challenge when it was raining as hard as it was this morning, it is good for the environment. I'll remind you of that. Keeps the air clean and keeps the, you know, the pollen count down. And so there are some positives. I'm just disappointed. Like I said, Chase, I was prepared for it yesterday. I was off. I wanted to sleep in yesterday. And I was hoping that, you know, this morning I didn't want to get out of the bed. But yesterday morning I went and got up because it wasn't raining. It really didn't rain all day. And then this morning, it just was absolutely pouring. And I was like, oh, man, I got a long day. Because I got Tider Insider TV tonight, a little extra for you on WVUA 23 at 6:30. And Rodney Orr will join me for that. Also, I have your local sports tonight on the news. And once again, Greg Sankey at the SEC spring meetings, you know, making it clear that the SEC has done what they felt like was for the good of the game, including expanding the playoff when they didn't need to expand it. And he I think, is a little bit put off now with some of the tactics from the ACC and the Big 12. That's a story that I'm sure that our other shows will have more on, beginning with the Miller's Edge coming up next at 11. Then it's T-Town Sports Daily from 1 until 2. And then Ryan Fowler, I'm sure, will go heavy into SEC spring meeting details with you on the game from 2 until 6. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll talk to you again in the morning on the Wednesday edition of the Gary Harris Show at 9 a.m.
listening to